Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. We are live in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake-it up, should do be. Along with the golf gangster himself, the tutty maker, the long ball creator, your boy with the big props on homers. We got it all with Carver High on a midweek Where Do You Hurt Wednesday. Mafia running it with Luke. I am Yolanda. The rundown. We got a double shot with Morenci from Vancouver this very hour. Plus Stewie, Keith Stewart from Read the Line joins Carver High to talk about some golf tournament that Tony Finau's not playing in Utah. The Black Rock Desert something or other. I didn't even know there was black rock in Utah. I just know there's a lot of good snow, skiing, Alta, Park City. There's a hockey club. They got a basketball team that never matters. Things like that. I didn't know they played golf there. Let's go. Plus, the prime minister later in the second hour, Cam Stewart live from Toronto, and they're going to talk golf because what we do here is make people money betting on golf. And that's a fact, Jack. We got it all going today. How does four, count them, division series baseball games? This will be the last day of the season where there's four baseball games. In fact, I think from this point forward, there'll only be one or two games on a daily basis until the World Series is decided. It all starts momentarily in Detroit Rock City. At Comerica, where the Tigers and Guardians are 1-1. Should be an awesome game today in the Motor City. And then we'll roll into Carver High, the Mets, trying to close out the Phillies in Game 4 at Citi Field in Queens. It's perfect outside and chilly. Fall, dry. They'll be rocking in Queens like they were yesterday. What a scene as they kick the Phillies' ass. Can they finish him off today with Quintana, who's been brilliant? He's had a 0.64 ERA over the last month. The guy's been pitching like a freak. I love the ball in his hands today, Mike.
Yeah, you gotta. That's for sure. As we've got four baseball games, as you mentioned. Happy Wednesday here on Coast to Coast. It is a Golf Wednesday, as you mentioned. The Black Desert Championship. Out of Utah.
Call it Black Rock. I think that's so.
I think it was the Black Rock.
Black Rock.
It's the Black Desert Championship. We will have some picks for that later on here on C2C. But yes, four times. This is it. Last day you get anything more than two baseball games in a day this season. You got four big ones with two teams with a chance to move on to the LCS. It's going to start in about 3 or 4 minutes. In Detroit, with the Guardians and the Tigers. Of course, Game 3, series tied at ones as they head back to Detroit. I just saw a shot of the field, Scotty. It actually looks like a beautiful day out in Detroit. And sometimes you never know what you're going to get in October.
Worse. It's on Max. I don't get Max in here.
It's on TBS. It's on TBS. Is what
Are you
it's
sure?
On. Yes, I'm sure. It's on TBS.
Well, I'm not seeing that. I'm stressed out. I started sweating.
I mean, all these games are in a different room.
I do not have that here in the New York City studio. I have that up in on another floor. I have that studio.
TBS
I
have, is where you will find the baseball game today. Not a problem. And it will be Alex Cobb against Keiter Montero to start things off. Although, as you know, with Detroit, you'll probably get several guys today at some point. Guardians right now, -115. Tigers even money, 7.5 the total, as we are about to get started here in Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, I have to go with the Tigers like I do every day. I want them to beat the Guardians, and I want their story to continue. I said to people that I've talked to today about these baseball games, look, I'm more leaning Mets than I am Yankees to advancing to the pennant. I mean, I think the Mets are on a roll unequaled by their peers. I think they're playing great. I think nothing has gone wrong for them. They got it all going. I mean, everything, pitching, hitting, home runs, bullpen. Mendoza's pulled all the right strings. And meanwhile, you know, Detroit, it's just a miracle they made the playoffs. And they've been really, I think, with the Mets, the hottest team over the last 2 months. And the Mets since June. And then the Yankees, to me, are dead. Judge is swinging and missing at everything, striking out every time he's up. When that guy doesn't hit, not only doesn't hit, but he fans at everything. He's missing pitches by a foot. When he's like playing like this, I mean, they suck. That team sucks when he doesn't hit. I mean, it is really down to Soto and then nothing else, right? Like, that's bottom line. And they're pitching. I've said this over and over. Cole sucks. Rodon sucks. I mean, there's no other word for it. I mean, Garrett Cole, every guy up gets a hit. I mean, the 99 guys have doubles and home runs. And the bottom line is Schmidt's played once in the playoffs in his life, and he got lit up. He's never been in the playoffs for the Yankees. Their pitching's been abysmal. The only guy that's done well is the Dreamweaver, the closer. Meanwhile, they can't get him to close because they're always losing. So I think they're in trouble. And the Friar Faithful, oh, what a scene at Petco last night with a soft serve ice cream. I am on the Padres all day, six ways till Sunday.
Yeah, they will look to get rid of the Dodgers tonight. And the amazing thing about the Dodgers is they were the no doubt about it favorites since everyone showed up at spring training, right? No doubt about it. Dodgers spent $1 billion, Otani, right. Yamamoto, all these things. They are playing for their lives tonight, and they're throwing a bullpen game out there.
And
Robert
Sassai
is like, yeah, we're going to throw a bullpen game. We're going to just throw guys in the bullpen and do it. Like, come on. $1 billion team, and we don't have anybody to start today? You're going to throw the bullpen out there? But all these teams do it now,
What's their superstar? Struck out six straight times?
Otani last night, obviously that spot in the eighth with Tanner Scott striking him out there. So, yeah, look, Otani and Judge, the two big superstars, have not had a good start to a couple days. And listen, this is going to become a thing, too. The teams that are playing well are the teams that played last week. It's happening
right.
again. And this is the third year of this format, and this could be the third year where these teams that had the bye, the majority of them are going to go home potentially, including two today with the Phillies and the Dodgers. So this is something that I think that baseball is going to start to hear about, that it's becoming unfair for the teams that have great regular seasons. That they're sitting around for a week and while these wild card teams beat
them.
Well,
I mean, the Yankees are another example of it. They were playing pretty decent at the end. They finished off the Orioles. They won the East. They won the bye. They won the top seed. And then they cooled off like Lake Erie. I mean, honestly,
yes.
They just don't hit anymore. So you can talk all you want about how good they are. They're always favored as well to win the World Series. And they can't even sniff it. And you and I have had this conversation. It's so embarrassing that all they had to do was get through the Central. They didn't have to deal with the Astros or the Orioles. All they had to deal with was these teams that are still alive. And they're not – I mean, Kansas City's got them by the throat Tell me you're not worried about that game tonight in Kansas City.
Oh, if you're a Yankee fan, you should absolutely be worried tonight. Absolutely. But all it takes is one, right? And if they're up 2-1 and they got Cole going tomorrow, maybe you get a better Cole on the road. Then you can't have a worse Cole performance.
Garrett Cole. None. None. I don't even want to hear it, Garrett Cole. Get him some tack. Can we get him some
all stick-em? The baseball. Lots of football today. The Raiders are going to start O'Connell on Sunday against the Steelers. Nico Collins to the IR. We got hockey tonight. Rangers, Penguins at the PPG in Pittsburgh. So a lot going on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can get Sports Rage weeknights at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, along all of our outlets, all the TV stations, streaming networks, radio stations, satellite radio, Sirius Channel 159. But more importantly, you can catch him on coast to coast every day with a double shot live from beautiful Vancouver, BC, baby, like you read about it. Gabe, your thoughts on the stress of these four baseball playoff series going on today. Your Dodgers are in trouble. Otani is frozen at the plate, striking out like Aaron Judge is. The Yankees seem to be in trouble. The Phillies are in trouble. And the only one that's not in trouble is this first game because they're both 1-1, and it seems like they both have a shot.
Upset special so far, isn't it? These baseball playoffs have been off the hook, super entertaining. In fact, Scott, I can't recall a better start to the baseball playoffs in recent memory. I mean, every series is just super close. And now we have these teams facing elimination right now coming into tonight, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, Scott, everybody said all year long, Phillies and Dodgers on a collision course, right? And they both might get knocked out. Baseball, the regular season record means nothing. It's about being hot at that time. You look at the Dodgers pitching staff, which is actually a real problem moving forward, Scott, because they did sign a bunch of arms. So it wasn't as if, the Dodgers were unprepared for this and now they don't have any pitchers. They literally had like 7-8 pitchers hurt. Joe Maddon, the former manager of the Angels, blamed the Dodgers. He basically said it's not bad luck. He goes, they've got a problem with their training regimen and what they're doing there. So I was just sort of thinking ahead to next year. What are you going to sign more pitchers and then they get hurt? I mean, the Dodgers had Max Scherzer a couple of years ago. He got hurt in the playoffs. The Dodgers are seemingly cursed when it comes to pitchers in the playoffs, but San Diego's a smoking hot team, bro. We've talked about it in the past. It was the one team I didn't want to face. I openly said it as a Dodger fan over and over. I don't want to play San Diego, right? San Diego beat them in the playoffs before. They're not intimidated. They hate the Dodgers. The San Diego crowd gets so crazy and into it. It's like their Super Bowl, right? And World Series and championships all rolled into one when they play the Dodgers. So a lot of emotion there. I think the Dodgers can find a way tonight. I mean, it's going to be close. Who hits more home runs? Who's, you're right. Otani now has to step up after Betts was 0-for-22. It's like whack-a-mole there. But a lot of fun, Scott. Like, taking the Dodger fan out of it, it's been a hell of a series.
Let me ask you this. So last night, I'm sitting there watching a game. Tatis hits the two-run shot, stares at it for 5 minutes, then runs around the bases. Then, Roberts does the interview on the dugout steps and says, we're not throwing in the towel. The very next at bat, Teoscar hits a grand slam to dead center, and it's 6-5. And I'm like, Jesus. And then, it's late in the East Coast. I'm like, I got it on in bed. I'm watching it. And next thing you know, I pass out. I wake up in the last inning. I wake up and it's 6-5 still. And I'm like,
you're probably surprised. You're like, you're probably like thinking, did I hit pause?
What did you think?
Well, it was amazing. Dude, the in-game total went all the way up to like 14.5. And it's 6-5 after three innings, guys. And you think, oh, boy. This is going to turn into one of these 12-11 type of games.
Right.
This is going to be a crazy night tonight. The Dodgers had one runner on base, Scott, after that Teoscar Hernandez grand slam in the rest of the game. They got one guy on base after that.
That's crazy.
That's how that game changed. Just like that. And San Diego didn't do anything either for the rest of the game. It turned into like one of those. I was live on the air. I said, this is weird. For a 6-5 game, it feels like a 1-0 game. Because it was all these innings, Scott, where nothing was happening. And it was like, man, all you need is one run. All you need is one run. San Diego couldn't get another run. And the Dodgers, when the Dodgers were down 6-5, everybody started swinging for the fences. Like from the 7th, 8th, 9th, everybody was trying to be a hero and just tie the game. That's modern baseball. It wasn't like, oh, let me get on. Everybody on the Dodgers was just like swinging through it. Suarez, dude, this guy's throwing like 102 miles an hour, 101 miles an hour. Really, really hard to hit. That crowd is electric, and it's just awesome stuff. I'm not a fan that we're down right now. Listen, anything can happen tonight. I'm not waving a flag, but the Dodgers offense needs to do what San Diego does. They need to put a crooked number up early and put the pressure on San Diego. L.A. needs to get that 4-5-0 lead and then try to hang on for dear life. You know, if it's a close game, it's inevitable as it goes on. San Diego's going to win tonight.
So Betts did get the home run early. They had the lead, but then the Padres put 6 on him. The Tigers just scored. Riley Green with an RBI single, brought in a runner from second, and they're up 1-0 with a couple of outs in the bottom of the first at Comerica. So that's happening. I got to ask you, what do you think has happened? I mean, I guess it's injuries, but I mean, no one's afraid of Buehler anymore at all.
Well, two Tommy John surgeries. That's what it is, Scott. A lot of times guys who get Tommy John surgery, they come back and they're even stronger. He's had two of them, right? He's had two of them in 2 years. And the velocity is just not there. It's too bad because this guy really was like on the verge of becoming one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he's out there battling. You can see it just kills him inside. And, you know, it's crazy, Scott, because last night it's amazing too. Sometimes, you know, luck's not on your side and it hasn't been. No excuses. But in game two, the Dodgers smoked the baseball, right? They hit like 6 balls to the warning track, like to the wall. Profar's robbing home runs. Bases are loaded. Edmund smokes one of the second basemen, sort of the first baseman, and there's a double play. And then last night, it was infield bad luck. Scott, you saw it in the beginning of the game. San Diego had 6 hits that didn't get out of the infield. Like, he gave up the home run, but it was like squib, squib, air, squib. Machado ran out of the baseline, too. That should have been freaking called, which wasn't. That led to an air. You can't do that. But the umps have been pretty bad in baseball, if you notice in the playoffs. It's very NFL-like. We don't even know if it was a catch anymore in baseball. It's like football.
Well,
oh, was his hand under it?
If they don't call it, no one. There's nothing they can do about him running. He did run crooked.
Yeah, and that's up to the ump on the spot to say right away, you're out. Yeah, you can't do that. He did it deliberately to block Freeman's line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Gabe, let's talk hockey. Last night, you saw some wild games. A lot of goals in the Utah Hockey Club opener in Salt Lake Shakers. And then I thought the shorties in that game in Sunrise, the Panthers.
Yo, Scott, hold on a second.
10 goals.
You just gave them a name right there. There's your name. I love that. The Salt Lake City Shakers. That should be the hockey team's name instead of the Utah Hockey Club. You just said Salt Lake Shakers. That should be their name. You just gave it. Copyright Scott Farrell, TM, trademark, right. His name. They should use it.
All right, so what did you think of those games?
And my then, name, for the record, sorry. My name, and they didn't. It wasn't on their list, but I'm all kidding aside, my name for the Utah team was the Utah Storm. I thought that would have been pretty cool. Snowstorms, Utah. You know what I mean? Utah Storm. Yeah, whatever. They went with the Utah Hockey Club.
I even liked the Yeti. I had no idea what it was, but I was like,
like a Sasquatch
cool
sort of character. It'd be a good jersey. You put the white Sasquatch. Yeah, it's like a snowman Sasquatch. Thank
so,
you.
What did you think of those games last night? And then I want to ask you about the Toronto-Montreal rivalry through the years. Growing up in Montreal, What did that mean to you, and what did it mean to everybody else?
You know what? It's the most overrated rivalry in modern sport. The, like, growing up, look, the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967. And for the most part, like, this is the most successful the Leafs have been recently. Like, the Leafs get called out for being a dominant regular season team and failing in the playoffs. Dude, they used to suck in the regular season, too. Like, most of my life, the Leafs have sucked. The Montreal Canadiens' real rival are the Boston Bruins. That's the team that the fans hate the most. That there's, like, you know, it gets nasty. Like, you know, it used to be the Quebec Nordiques as well. The Leafs is sort of a media one. It used to be a rivalry in the original 6 days in the 50s and stuff. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Fine.
Right.
But in the modern era, it really isn't. It's still special. The media hypes it up. And, you know, it's the Yankees-Red Sox, bro. You know what I mean? That's what it is. It's the media loves it. It's the two media markets, French versus English. Like, it's the old school sort of rivalry. But I'll tell you what, the Canadians have gotten the better of the Leafs, even though the Leafs have been the better team over the years recently. It's another one of these deals where it's like Auburn, Alabama. If you're going to win one game, beat the Leafs. Like, the Canadian fans, you know, they like to beat the Leafs still. It's still a, you know, little bit of a rivalry. Not like it really was, but the Canadians do get up for it. Canadians are a good home team. Martin St. Louis, their head coach, is very the former Tampa Bay Lightning great, Hall of Famer. He's sort of, they want to win, but he's about entertaining. Like, you know, he's like, listen, he kind of told people, we're rebuilding, but this is Montreal. We can't just be a boring hockey team. So even as we rebuild, we sort of have to entertain and score goals. And the Canadians can score goals. If they can figure out how to keep the puck out of the net, I think they could be a playoff, not a contender in the playoffs, but flirt with the playoffs to get into the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, battle to get into the playoffs type of deal this year. I still think they're a year or two away, this Habs team, but I think they are live dogs tonight, Scott, at plus 150.
You like them. Now, you got other ones, too. How about the game where you are, Calgary and Vancouver?
I tell you what, there's a lot of excitement about this Vancouver Canuck team this year. I was excited last year, and I knew people were sleeping on them. And last year, guys, their win total was, I think it was 91.5. They smoked it. They had 109 points last year. This year, their win total is 99.5. For the record, I think they're going to go over again, because even if they win a couple of less games than last year, they'll still go over this number. But they're a good hockey team, Scott. Rick Tocchet's one of the best coaches in the National Hockey League, point blank. One issue for the Canucks, they lost a couple of guys, but I think they did a good job of replacing them. Thatcher Demko, their goalie, is out. He's got a prolonged injury that they can't figure out. And it's like, literally, they said, it's one of these one-in-a-million deals. It's like McCaffrey. They got Demko flying around from Switzerland and all these doctors, and what should we do? And they all say, listen, it's just a time thing. So Demko's going to be out, but Seeloff's a good goalie. They bring in Lankinen as well. I think the Canucks are going to win tonight. They're minus 200. It's a little pricey. If you want to play the puck line, plus 125, I don't have a problem with it. But let's throw something out here, guys. The Vancouver Canucks are very fast starters, all right? These guys score goals in, like, the first minute of the game, first 2 minutes of the game, a lot. So let's go. Will there be a goal scored in the first 10 minutes of the game tonight in Vancouver? I say yes, there will be. The Canucks are going to score first in the first couple of minutes.
All right, there's other great games tonight. We'll hit those.
Hey, let's take your Penguins, Scott. Plus 125. Let's go Penguins.
Oh, I think the Rangers will be.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do you think, Carver? Hi, I just saw the schedule, and I can go see the Penguins play the Sharks on Saturday night at PPG, the 16th of November, against the Sharks. And then the next day, I'm going to go see them play the Steelers play the Ravens in a big North battle over at the place the Steelers play. The doubleheader, hockey and NFL, back-to-back games. I got to get those tickets tonight.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on that. Make sure you work on it, because obviously if that's a football weekend, People are going to have the same idea as you. They're coming into town. They're going to go to the Penguin game, go see the Sharks. So make it a double dip.
The lady on the take, the lady that bothers me for season tickets. She knows me my whole life, and I'm going to call her, and I'm going to get tickets, and that'll be the end of it. And then I get good seats down low by the glass, and that'll be the end of it. Nobody wants to pay $200 a pop to see them play, but I do.
Why not? You only go there a couple times. You might as well make it happen while you're there.
Carver High, I've canceled plans to go on the Giants Monday night game. I was given a bill of goods last night for flights and hotels and where the hotel is and everything else, and it was just exorbitant. And I said, it's just not worth it. That's a lousy deal. That's a ripoff. I'm getting shafted. I'm not doing it. So I canceled that trip, too. I'll be selling the Jets and Giant tickets.
You'd rather go to the Raven game anyway. Raven game is going to be a huge game. Always good when they get together. 1-0 Tigers. The Guardians do have some runners on base. First and third, two out here with Bo Naylor up at the plate. Herder's on for the Tigers. So Montero went the first inning. Herder's in here in the second inning as the Tigers are going to do one of their long bullpen games.
Oh, but that's,
really?
That's not. No, it's caught. They're out of it.
Caught. Out of the inning. So there you go. Unscathed as they go to the bottom of the second, still 1-0 there. The second game of the day will start just after 5 o'clock East between the Phillies and the Mets at Citi Field as the Mets will look to advance to the NLCS for the first time since 2015. Let me give you a couple things from yesterday. First, of course, they win 7-2. We were on for this, but this got the Mets started. Pete Alonso, who not he's starting to hit some homers, Scotty, and they're all going opposite field. Little Oppo Taco for the Polar Bear on Mets Radio 880.
And he's had success against Nola before. First pitch on the way. Hit high in the air to right field, pretty deep. Castellanos back at the track, at the wall, and it's gone! He hit it off the facing of the second deck, the Coca-Cola corner. Another opposite field home run for Pete Alonso. The Mets are leading by a score of 1-0.
Howie thought it was down in the first row. It was up the upper deck off the facade. It was a bomb, and so was Winker's.
Yeah, the Wink Man, he really tore into one. Unfortunately, the call for the Wink Man homer was not as good. Howie wasn't on the call for the Wink Man homer, so not as good there for the Met Radio yesterday. What an outing for Sean Manaea, who pitched into the eighth inning, Scotty, and then, of course, said afterwards that his aunt had passed away earlier in the day. Really, we haven't seen many pitchers go deep in these playoff games. Honestly, what Manaea did for the Mets yesterday, also considering how much they've used their pen over the last 2 weeks, that was much needed. What a performance by him.
He was incredible. I thought the difference for him is really that arm angle he throws at. It's just baffling to left-handed hitters. They have no chance against him. I thought he made Harper look pathetic. I've never seen Sean Manaea look better in a baseball outing, to be honest with you. He was totally dominant.
Totally dominant indeed. Of course, the Mets have a chance to move on today. Carlos Mendoza, the Met manager, says we still have a lot of work to do. We got to keep the foot down.
You know, obviously it'll be special, but we got to come back tomorrow and we got to win a baseball game. If we would have lost today, the mentality, we need to come back tomorrow and win a baseball game. One day at a time mentality, one series at a time. We'll come back tomorrow. We got to stay humble. We haven't done anything. We got to come back tomorrow. We have to prepare. We got to go out the way we go about our business pregame, and then we got to go out there. We got to compete, and we got to go out there and execute. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I really think, Mike, I don't know about you, I'd love to hear your thoughts, that this is huge tonight for them. This is dinner is served. You have a chance to eliminate the Phillies, who everyone thought was going to the pennant to face the Dodgers. And some people think the Phillies are better than the Dodgers because they have better pitching. Flat out, starting and bullpen, no questions asked. The Dodgers' weakness is their pitching. And it's a problem again tonight with Nat going. Nobody believes in that kid. Nobody knows that kid. So you have a chance tonight with the left-hander in Quintana, who has been brilliant, and he's just giving up nothing. He's not even giving up a run a game. So if he pitches remotely close to what he's been over the last month, he's going to be a real problem for the Phillies. You got to win this game because you're going to go back to Philly and face Wheeler, and you're not scoring runs against Zach Wheeler. He's going to dominate you for seven innings, and you're going to be forced to do what you did in game one, which was, you know, hit five runs in one inning in the eighth inning to beat him. And that's how they did it. They stunned him because everyone and their brother thought that they were winning that game, that Wheeler left 1-0. Facing Wheeler tomorrow or whatever, I think it would be Friday.
Friday.
What would it be? Friday. Facing him Friday, I think, spells doom for the Mets. They got to win today. They got to win today because they're going to face a guy that is a dominant ace who will give them nothing over seven innings at all. You cannot risk your season on two innings. Even though they've been the heartbreak, cardiac kids, and they've done it, and they did it in Philly, I don't think they repeat that again after seeing Wheeler again, that they're going to come out and score five runs in the eighth inning off of that bullpen. The bullpen for the Phillies has been really good, not in this series, but they've been really good all year. Do you feel today with Quintana is their last chance to win this series?
Look, from what I've seen from them the past couple weeks and months, I wouldn't put it past them. But I would say the chances of what you just said, pulling that off twice in a series, going against Wheeler, potentially getting dominated by him, and then when he comes out of the game in the eighth inning scoring five runs, I don't like to roll the dice with that again. That's not something that I would want to do. You have it set up for you tonight. Quintana's been good. Suarez has not been for the Phillies, who's going to start for them. You've got all the momentum right now. They have got to shut the door here at home tonight against this Philly team. Of course, you talked about going back to Philadelphia. That's precisely what Nick Castellanos and the rest of the Phillies would like to do tonight. Here he is.
What is your mental approach in terms of trying to flush this one, if that is the approach, and get ready for that backs against the wall mentality tomorrow?
I think it's, instead of just flushing it and forgetting it, I think right now it's really important to embrace what the situation is. We lose, we're going home. Baseball's over for us. And, you know, it's a great opportunity because if we're able to come in and scrape out a win here, I know that they do not want to go back to Philly for a game five.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. But they're not going to, you know, not get on the plane. Okay, they're not going to get on, like, you know, and say, you know what, we're just going to quit today. Thanks. We're a bunch of peas. Okay, so that's not happening. They need to win today. I know that yesterday was up in the air, like, who knows? And they kicked their ass. So now I think they legitimately have to win today. I really do.
I'm with you, no doubt. We will come back. Actually, I'll do Keith with the Black Desert, and then after that, I'll give you all the numbers for tonight.
All the Black Rock.
And as I have been doing, I will give you some of the matchup numbers. But once again, just like yesterday, both teams have some pretty good numbers against these starting pitchers. We did get that over. It took a little while, but we got that over in the Met-Philly game. We just needed those bullpens to get in there, but we got it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back from coast to coast here on a Wednesday. That's right. A golf Wednesday. The swing season rolls on here on coast to coast. And we flipped the order today. Normally, Cam goes first. We get a whole bunch of picks in, and then Keith comes in and gives you the picks. Not today. Keith in the leadoff spot. Keith Stewart, read the line as we get ready for the inaugural Black Desert Championship out in Utah, which we will discuss. Keith, good to see you as always. Before we get there, you were in the city yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Still a year away, but you know we're all excited for it, which is the Ryder Cup at Bethpage. In our backyard here in the New York area. Keegan was there. Luke Donald was there. You were there. Give me a little something from yesterday with that.
So the press conference, and good afternoon on a golf Wednesday there, Mr. Mike Carver. The press conference for 1 year out, Bethpage Black, Ryder Cup 2025, the Euros versus the United States. Captain Keegan, Luke Donald, they sit in front of the media and they talk about, you know, what they're anticipating for next year. Three quick themes for you. First, crowd control, and more crowd control. The second was what they'll do with live players. And the third thing was, you know, is Captain Keegan going to play? He's ranked 14th in the world, and there were a lot of questions surrounding that. But the crowds in New York City are already a concern, and the PGA of America is going to have their hands full. There's no doubt about that.
They certainly are. And I did see Keegan say, for anybody who didn't see it, he's taking the 12 best players. Yep. No matter who or where they play, he is going to take the best players. Luke had to be a little bit more diplomatic because there's rules with the DP World Tour in terms of having status there. But I think we're going to see – you'll see the Rahms and the Hattons the Europe team next year at Bethpage, trust me, because guys like Rory aren't going to allow them to not have the Rahms and the Hattons when they go over there to try to win. All right, Keith, let's get into this week. Black Desert Championship. First time we are going here. This is a new event on the PGA Tour in the swing season. What have you found out about the Black Desert Resort where we are going to be?
Well, this is a pretty cool spot. That's the first thing. Southwest Utah is not like ski slopes and mountains that you would normally see. This is about 2 hours northeast of Vegas. So there's a lot of like Vegas texture to the terrain, and it's lava fields and some red rock, you know, jettisoning out of the desert landscape. I mean, this is a pretty cool layout. Tom Weisskopf did the design. And I think when we go to a brand new place, and when I talk about brand new, this is not just a brand new event on the PGA Tour. This is a brand new golf course that just opened last year in 2023. So we have no history there. There's 132 rookies in the field. So a couple things we got to kind of dabble with is, how about some comp courses? So I mentioned Weisskopf. You know, he was the one that designed this golf course. Well, guess what? He also did TPC Scottsdale. We've got some history there. How about places like El Diamante, where we went last year for the Worldwide Technology Championship in the fall? Tiger spot there in Cabo. Wide fairways, same similar type of terrain. And maybe, you know, the Mexico Open, another long golf course. Par 71, 7,300 yards. But check that for a moment, because we're playing at 3,000 feet of altitude. So the guys are going to get a little break on carry. But overall, I don't see anything stopping these guys from making a boatload of birdies.
Let's get right into it. The outrights for this week. And yes, I always love this. Reading the same mail. I got a couple of these guys on my card too, Keith, including Fishburne and Thorbjørnsen.
Well, I right off the top, Michael Thorbjørnsen, super, super long. I think length is going to be a huge advantage. 50-yard wide fairways. Just let the shaft out, bombs away, and make some birdies. I love him at plus 3,500. And that number's been jumping a bunch. I've seen on FanDuel and a couple other places it get up to 45. So pay attention there. You might be able to buy in and get an even better number than I got. Top eight at the Sanderson, and he's gained with the putter in three straight. Patrick Fishburne played golf at BYU, grew up in Utah. We are in Utah, you know. Sometimes the golf gods, they like these stories. But he's a top 10 ball striker, top 20 putter, definitely long enough to make a dent in those 7,300 yards, even at elevation. Harry Hall, the UNLV player, member over at TPC Summerlin, where we're going to play next week, another desert golf course. This guy has played – he's gained over five strokes on average against the field in his last nine starts, and that includes a win at the ISCO back in Kentucky. Another long golf course, 7,400 yards at par 72. Guy makes a boatload of birdies. And my last one, Jacob Bridgman. I brought this guy up a couple times on the placement board, right? Canadian, but three of his last four starts, top 20s. The guy can absolutely roll the rock. And that's a key this week. When you have 132 rookies in the field, I always give an edge to putting. It's bent grass this week, but good putters can read greens for the first time. They're going to have an edge. So you build out that card, put some putters on it, please.
Got to have some guys who can roll the rock, as always. You mentioned placements. Let's get to the placements. I do see a few familiar faces. The great Ryan Fox on the card this week.
Well, Ryan Fox, first time I saw him play live, the Kiwi from New Zealand, you know, guys had a ton of success on the DP World Tour, was back in March at the Waste Management. Again, I mentioned Weisskopf. He's designed both places. Great driver of the golf ball, Good putter, good short game. It's a good fit this week for a top 20, a plus 188. Bridgman is going to pop up there too. I mean, the guy's just had a bunch of top 20s lately, at plus 3-1 or plus 300. I think that's a good value there. Go back to the top 10s. Lucas Glover. So this guy wins twice in 2023, and he doesn't make the playoffs and can't defend the Hey Jude or the FedEx St. Jude because he doesn't make the top 70. Well, on his radio show the other night on SiriusXM PGA Tour Network, what does he do? He says, I need to play better. These young kids are killing me. He goes, you know what? I'm going to dedicate myself to playing a little tougher. So you know what? 13th at the Pro Corps, third at the Sanderson, and this week he could do the same thing. So I think we're seeing a rededicated Lucas Glover, top 40s, Vince Whaley, bomber with a good putter. I love Carson Young out here in the desert. And then the last guy, Brandon Wu, down there at the Mexico Open, this guy, he's got a couple of top fives, long golf courses where you got to make a lot of birdies. Brandon Wu does all right, made the cut at the Sanderson. So I like my chances there for a top 40.
And the head-to-heads quickly, Keith.
All right, Harry Hall over Andrew Novak. Novak's got one top 10 since March. The other one, Patrick Rogers over Alex Smalley. Smalley's had a tough year. Rogers has had his best FedEx Cup year to date. You know what? It's been a great week. I cannot wait for the Ryder Cup in New York. Man, the energy yesterday, the emotion, even amongst the captains, you could feel it. And we're less than a year away, my friend, Mr. Carver.
I can't wait to be there for it. It's going to be unbelievable out there at Bethpage. Keith Stewart, Read the Line, the Black Desert. Next week, not going far, David from Shriner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game four at Citi Field in about an hour and 10 minutes, roughly, or thereabouts, in Queens. Phillies and Mets, Quintana against Suarez. It should be awesome.
Yep, it should be. Ranger Danger going for the Phillies. Of course, Quintana was excellent last week in Milwaukee against the Brewers. Mets looking to close it out. Mets favored now, Scotty, minus -120. Even money for the Phillies, 7.5 is the total. I thought it was light yesterday. I actually think it might be a little light again today. I think that for the fourth time in this series, we can get this over between the Mets and the Phillies. I think the Mets are going to score runs on Ranger Danger.
So you think that he'll have problems in Queens as opposed to the way he pitches in the bank?
I think he'll have problems at Queens, and the other reason why I think there might be an over tonight, and look, I think we both know the Mets need to win this game today. I don't know if they're going to get as much length out of Quintana as they got out of Minaya last night. So even if Quintana pitches well, I don't think it's more than 5 or 6 innings, and that's a lot of outs for the Met bullpen to get. And I know they got Diaz a little rested. It's not like Diaz has been completely shut down. I think the Phillies might be able to score a couple on the Met bullpen, and that's where we can get ourselves.
And what's the total?
7.5. 7.5.
Wow. I don't know. These two guys, you're probably right. You're probably right, but these two guys are just tough customers.
Yeah.
You know, but look, the Mets are so hot hitting. How can I be afraid of Suarez? Honestly, they've teed off on everyone except Wheeler. They teed off on Nola. I mean, I didn't see that coming either. I like the Mets. Let's roll with the over and the Mets. It's now or never for the Mets. And I hope Quintana can get into like 6 2/3, I think would be huge. If he can get into the seventh inning, at least an out or two, I think that would be huge. He has been absolutely brilliant for them. You know, better than Minaya. And then Minaya yesterday was better than him. So yeah, if they can get another performance out of him today, they win it.
As far as Phillies against Quintana, Schwarber 7-for-24 with a homer. Castellanos 13-for-53 with two homers. Lots of experience there. Bohm, Realmuto, and Harper have all homered off of him in the past. On the other side, for the Mets, Vientos 3-for-15 with a homer off of Suarez. Lindor 5-for-16 with a homer. Not much else. Iglesias is 6-for-8 off of him, no homers. And Marte 6-for-19 off of him, no homers. But You got some, these two, they've seen each other a lot. They're division rivals. They've seen these pitchers. Anything can happen here tonight as far as that's concerned.
I bet Vientos over 1.5 bases and hit it yesterday. He did it again. He's been on fire. I'm going for that again today.
He has been outstanding in this series, Vientos, that's for sure.
Any
By the
taters,
way.
Any taters that you're seeing here?
I kind of like Vientos against Suarez. I think that Vientos would be the one guy. I'm trying to keep it to like one a game now. So I think that the one guy I want to key in on is Vientos. If it's
just
be
one homer today, huh? I want more than that. I
well,
want Lindor.
One a game.
I want
Wink, one a game.
Man. I want Look, Polar Bear.
I'm trying
Alvarez.
To. It worked. The strategy worked for me yesterday. I got Alonso and Tatis both homered. So we're going to try one a game here. Now, the Tigers, Scotty, have first. I think they're going to get this
they
run
just
in.
Scored. It's 2-0.
2-0. Sac Fly gets another run in. So 2-0 Tigers in the bottom of the third inning. And listen, more they're going nuts in Detroit, Scotty. They're waving the towels. All the afternoon sunshine, beer-drinking Tiger right. fans getting involved out at Comerica. What a scene it is. There today. So nice job, Detroit, up 2-0. All right, we will come back, and we still have two other games that we have to get into tonight. We have the Yankees and the Royals, game 3 in Kansas City, Dodgers and Padres. Dodgers, like the Phillies, on the brink tonight. Can they keep their season alive against the Padres, who look very, very good right now? That's for sure.
Well, look, Knack, I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of their bullpen. I think they have pitching problems. They give up too many hits. They give up too many runs. They give up too many home runs. And they're at Petco. All of these things spell disaster for the Dodgers to me. I think Dylan Cease can give them a good game tonight, and the bats will do the rest. The Friar Faithful are going to go to the pennant.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.